Dan Cashman with us. Well, my goodness, the last time we talked with you, it was before the craziness and everything with it of the final shows. And now here we are going into the last weekend of the show. And let's talk about, you know, the story everybody is talking about. David Letterman appearing on your show. You were kind enough to let me behind the curtain and then agonize about keeping that secret for the longest time. It didn't take away from my enjoyment of the experience, because what made it so great was not only seeing this happen for you, but seeing the genuine response of people in the audience when he walked out. And I think, and you probably have heard this from other people, I think when you introduced David Letterman, there was a percentage of the audience who expected somebody from your team to come out in costume.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And it was a little bit calculated, because there's always, especially in his later days, there was always sort of a hesitation before he entered the stage on his own show. And so our team, I didn't talk to him before the show, but our team suggested that to him. And he said, oh, yeah, I do that all the time now. So I knew there was going to be 3 or 4 seconds before he appeared behind that door. And I thought, that's going to be great, because there's going to be some people in that audience who think this is a joke. It's going to go from shock to, oh, they're pulling a prank on us, here's a bazinga, to him actually walking out. And the timing was perfect. He's a pro. He's the best that's done it. So, you know, he knew exactly what he was doing. And I'm sorry that I bequeathed on you the curse of knowing this information. We talked in a sweet spot. This is sort of a behind the scenes tale that I don't think I've told anybody. We originally had agreed with David Letterman's team to publicize his appearance. And there was about a 24-hour window where I was feeling comfortable saying to a couple of select people, this news is coming next week, be ready. And then after that 24-hour window, I heard from them and they said, Dave's warmed up to the idea of keeping it a surprise, so don't tell anybody. And I was like, oh, crap. So I had told you and maybe one other person that that wasn't in the need-to-know group. And then I had to put it back in the box. And I think I called you and said, don't tell anybody ever.
I told like 50 people, but they were really good at keeping it secret.
No.
So, and this has been discussed, and we'll talk about the aftershocks of all of this. But my impression, and again, just as a member of the audience, was that obviously the big thing was landing this guy you've wanted to have on the show forever, the dream guest. But better than that was what I saw from the audience, and I'm hoping you'll confirm, is that this guy came to Bangor as one of your heroes, and I thought left as a peer, because what I saw was a guy who looked around and said, this is a high caliber, big time production that's taking place in Bangor, Maine. And the national story might be what some may think of as the fluke of getting this big name guest, elusive guy, to come to Bangor, Maine. But to me, the real story is that he came, saw what was going on, and said, this guy and his show are worthy not just of my appearance, but of my respect.
Boy, that's really kind of you to say and to notice. And I think we were just talking before you turned on the microphone about how sometimes it's awkward and difficult to accept compliments. But at the same time, it's there on video. He had really kind words to say about the show in general, the setup. He said it was a lot like they had the setup at the Ed Sullivan Theater. He talked about certain situations that – or not situations, but sort of experiences that he's had. And he related those to experiences that I must have had, because I've also done something that he did. And it adds to the surreal nature of how that interview played out for me. And when I watched it back at home, when it aired on Saturday night, it kind of took me back to this weird place where I was just like, I can't believe I'm watching this. And I had watched it since it happened. But when I was sitting at home watching it on television, there was another weird aspect to it where I just couldn't believe what I was hearing. And yeah, I think your characterization is right. As weird as it sounds to say that, I think your characterization of that is accurate.
Now, did you plan on doing an hour-long show, or it just went so well that you said, let's keep it going?
No, it was originally supposed to be a half an hour, typical length for our show. And at the end of the night, I think the last person left in the lobby, after everyone cleared out and I had talked to a bunch of people and talked to people backstage, was the program director for the stations that run our show in Portland. And he came up to me, or I came up to him, and he said, first thing he said was, before you ask, yes, I can give you an hour. So after that, I talked to Steve Hiltz with WABI in Bangor and WWPI in Presque Isle, and they found a way. So it ended up being an hour, but that was not the plan going into it.
And I saw the pictures that everybody had taken with him backstage, and he was obviously very gracious. And I've never believed in that old adage, never meet your heroes, because I've been lucky enough to meet a few along the way, as have you. And, most of the time you understand even more so why you looked up to them in the first place.
Yeah. I've been really fortunate, I guess, too. And I think that adage exists because people have had unfortunate experiences with their heroes, and maybe you and I are a couple of the lucky ones that have not. The two television heroes that I've had in my life are Dave and Mark Summers, and I've met them both, and they both have been amazing. And Dave was very gracious with his time backstage. It was not expected. In fact, I sort of thought the opposite might happen. I thought he might finish up and have to fly out of there. But he spent time talking with Brian Netto, the band leader. He spent time talking with myself. He caught up with Mark Summers. They came up together at the Comedy Store in the 70s, so they caught up for a bit. He talked to my parents. I talked to other people, other executive producers, the president at Husson. He really was in a very chatty mood to share stories and insight and thoughts with all of us. And it was, it really did. Like, if my respect for him was 10 out of 10 going into this, it broke the barometer after he left, because he exceeded every single expectation that any of us had.
Talking with Danny Cashman here on Downtown. Well, the response has been amazing around here, of course, with newspaper, television coverage. But then in the days following the broadcast, People Magazine, for crying out loud. And then there you are on satellite radio with the king of all media. Oh, just Howard Stern checking in. And that was a great conversation, too. And I especially appreciate the fact that Howard as well had watched some of the show, knew about it, and was impressed with what you've done.
Yeah, that didn't even occur to me that he might rake me over the coals. I was at a physical therapy appointment with one of my kids, and I get this Facebook message from somebody whose name I didn't recognize, and I thought maybe it was somebody that I was friends with from years ago and just hadn't seen for a while. And it just said, congrats on the Letterman interview. And I didn't look at the rest of it. And then I got another message from him a few minutes later that said, would you be up for a phone call this morning? And I was like, who is this guy? So I clicked on it. And after congrats on the Letterman interview, he went on to explain that he's a video producer for the Howard Stern Show. And they were talking about the night show. And I went, holy crap, that's not what I expected. So he asked if I'd be up for a phone call. And I said, well, I'm at an appointment with my child right now. I need to be present here. How is after 8:15? And he said, well, no promises. We haven't pitched it to Howard yet, but if he wants to talk to you, are you open to it? I said, absolutely. Just I need to make sure that I'm here with my child first. So I let him know that the appointment ended early. And then I got a message back as I was dropping my kiddo off at school that was just a phone number. And then he said, call this number. Howard wants to talk to you. The call screener is waiting. And I said, oh, well, that's okay. Give me 90 seconds. So I dropped off my kiddo, called the number. And about 5 minutes later, I was talking to Howard. But it was that time that I was on hold that I thought, oh, God, what did he say about it? Did he hate it? And I was starting to think, like, I could be just walking into a lion's den here. But You're right. He said a couple of times it was a good interview. And I told the producer after that, I said, I want to take that cut of audio and segregate it and make it my new ringtone. And he thought I was kidding, but I think I'm actually going to do that.
I love the story he told too about getting turned down for a job early in his career at WBLM.
Yeah, I didn't know that. And I also get turned down for a job at WBLM. And I almost started to share that. And I thought, no, I don't want to be that guy. I know enough about Howard. I've listened to him plenty, and I know, don't try to match stories with Howard. Answer what he's asking and call it good.
Well, it was great. And so now we head into the weekend and the final episode. I was in the audience for that, and it was terrific. And I think I told you at the time, you know, the Letterman interview was huge, obviously, and that was a chance for you to finish with the ultimate dream guest. The last episode, I believe, was a chance for the audience to thank you for everything you've done to entertain them over the last 15 years, and I thought it was wonderful.
Thanks. There were basically three segments that we had to decide on, and then the fourth segment is the obligatory thank yous. And those three segments, I was really going back and forth on what those were going to look like. We had about six or seven ideas. And I think what we landed on ended up being the best case scenario. And I hope viewers agree. There's a little bit of a chance to highlight one of our favorite guests that couldn't make it on the show in the past year. We got to highlight the collaboration with the New England School of Communications at Hudson University and the students there. And then we got to kind of rapid fire show off 15 years of The Night Show and then some. So I think it wrapped up the way it was supposed to. And of course the David Letterman piece was a big piece. But I think, if similar to what you said, I was thinking about this the other day, I feel like the show with David Letterman, that was for the viewers. That was for everybody in Maine to look at and say, wow, he came to Maine. This last show is for us. It's our way to say goodbye to something that's been a big part of our lives, and hopefully something that viewers have latched onto for a period of time, and hopefully they remember it going forward.
Will you watch the final episode Saturday night?
Yeah, I think I will. I think I will. I mean, I was glued to my set with Dave, and I think, and again, I had seen it several times, but it felt different watching it on TV, and I think I'll probably watch the final episode on TV. I received a lot of text messages and Facebook messages during the episode with Dave. And I think if people are kind enough to watch and reach out, then I want to be able to respond in real time, because if somebody's taking the time to do that, I don't want to ignore it or wait till the next day to respond. So I'll stay up and watch it. Even looking, it's not fully edited yet, but even looking at the footage, it's emotional. It's hard. It's a little bit hard to watch without feeling a little bit verklempt.
So has it hit yet that, because you've been, again, putting together shows and getting ready for these last few episodes to air, but not planning anything for next week, the week after, has that begun to hit yet, or will that take a while to sink in?
I think it'll take a while. This is the time of year we always end our run of new episodes from the theater anyway. So there's been a lot more attention on them, of course, and that's taken a lot more time. I haven't slept a whole lot in the last 3 weeks, so it might hit after I have a long nap at some point. But it's the time of year where there's always a lot of hectic activity to get the final few episodes edited and packaged up, and we're still going to have reruns for about 5 months on the stations that run us. So we still have to do those. So I think as we go into what would have been a new season, around the time where I would have started lining up guests and planning out logistics for sketches sometime in August, that's probably when it's going to hit. But for now, it still feels very normal, just with a whole lot of attention focused on it. And a whole lot of new things I've never done before. I mean, I've never been on Howard Stern before. I've never talked to People magazine before. Those types of things are really exciting, and it kind of adds to the excitement of the whole thing. But I think once, as Dave said, you get to miss that routine, and it takes a while for you to get used to that. I think that routine for me will start up again in August, and that's when I'll start thinking, oh, yeah, that's right. I used to do something really fun, and this year I'm not.
Of all the accolades, one of the coolest I saw, and maybe you felt the same, it was online, People Magazine, when there was a comment on the story in People Magazine from a young woman who claimed to be your daughter, who was, I would say, bursting with pride.
Yep. That story came out when we were driving to Southern Maine, and it came out just before that. So I got a quick peek at it, and then she looked at it on her phone, and then she's typing away. And we have a rule, no phones on short car rides, but we were going to Southern Maine, so I didn't say anything about it. And then she said, "Dad, I just made a comment on the story." And I said, "Oh, no, what did you say?" And she read it to me. It was the sweetest thing. Yeah. And she did it, you know, she had to sign up for an account. She did all those things without me knowing. I did tell her, you know, next time you sign up for an account for anything, please tell me. But other than that, you know, it was very sweet. And, a couple of friends of mine sent me a screenshot of that and said how cool it was. And it was, just one of those unexpected moments that, that was really, really sweet.
And I have to think, just as an aside now, the People Magazine coverage certainly puts you in the conversation for next year's Sexiest Man Alive.
No, I don't think that's true. I'm getting used to accepting all sorts of compliments. That one I cannot do, sir.
My goodness. Well, congratulations on a tremendous run. I am so happy for the way this all ended, and for you to be getting, you know, the recognition that you deserved for a long time, because this you didn't just start doing the show in the last 6 months, but a lot of people, obviously outside the state of Maine, but even inside the state of Maine, I think had a chance to watch and go, wow, wish I'd known sooner. Well, where the hell you been? Maybe next time you do something, people will jump on board at the beginning. But for those who were there from the beginning, it was a great ride for all of us. And I know we talked about it, the compliments, you're not good. But I'll say this, the talent is obviously there. That's what made it all happen. But the fact that you're the kind of person that you are, that makes it even better, because I like seeing good things happen to good people. So this was a wonderful ending for now to this story.
Well, thank you. And I want to thank you for being one of those people that were there at the very beginning, and also seeing the talent that we have around the show, Brian Netto and the Night Show Band and Mark Nason and all of the people behind the cameras and in front of the cameras and the writers and producers and just everybody has been, it's been a good team. And I also want to thank you for hosting the End of the Road for the Night Show, which will be online in its entirety. If it's not yet, it will be very soon. It's got to run on TV first. You did a fantastic job doing that. And I want to thank you. I think that particular show couldn't have gone any better. And thank you for doing that. I think that's an important show to hang on to kind of remember everything that was over the life of The Night Show.
I was honored to be a part of it. And as I will tell people, the hell with Letterman, I was actually the last guest on the show.
I think technically I was the last guest.
Oh, yeah. All right, fine. Thank you, Dan. As always, we'll talk with you soon.
Sounds good. Thank you, Rich.